significant others allowed them to record this. It's That Movie Is Fine, the podcast, presented on the Pop Culture Entertainment Network.
Are you recording this whole time?
Oh, that's recording.
We am professional.
With your hosts, the one who initially rated Gods of Egypt 5 stars, it's Lauren Knight.
I completely forgot. I love Daylight.
Yes.
And that is a disaster movie.
And the one who literally has James Cameron's Wikipedia article printed on a t-shirt, it's Aaron Hudson.
I'm going to edit that out of the first episode, so that in this whole thing, they're like, what are they talking about? She never said that.
Okay. Is today's movie fine, less than fine, or better than fine? Stay tuned to find out.
So the Oscars. I don't know if you want to...
they were announced, and I'm actually kind of impressed with they went with, 10 Best Pictures this year?
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen RRR on there instead of Triangle of Sadness. I recently watched that.
You just watched that, right?
I hated it, but I also did not love The Square. I just think that filmmaker is just not for me. And that's okay, but I think to call it one of the best films of the year is definitely inaccurate. So that was a surprise that
it was
on there.
They loved horror again.
How so? With what?
Not in any way.
Oh, I was like, wait. I was trying to, because people were upset about Nope not getting like even anything but like cinematography or design.
Well, I mean, I know our
design.
Friend Will, who has a Jordan Peele fetish, was very upset.
Film Twitter was upset too. I know you don't go on Film Twitter.
No,
I have a Twitter.
I do not use
it. You do
Twitter.
Not use it, but I'm on it, and people were posting screenshots and like of some of the phenomenal like night work and stuff that they did. And so the fact that it didn't even get like cinematography or any sort of like original script, you know, what do they call it? It is best original. It's adapted and then.
Best original.
Yeah.
Or adapted.
Nope for Nope.
The sound mix was good in that movie, too.
Yeah, I think people were talking about also how it didn't get any
And
sound.
Like, Mia Goth had quite a year with X and Pearl. And
yeah. I haven't seen Pearl yet, but I feel like for X, I mean, she played two...
X gonna give it to you.
spoiler alert, she plays two characters in X, so it's like...
That is a spoiler, Lauren.
I said spoiler alert before I said the spoiler. I also didn't say what two characters.
It's true. Well, I mean, I remember watching it. And I was like, is that also her? You know? And yes, it was.
Yeah. My husband told me like halfway through or whatever. He was like, is that her? And I was like, no. And he was like, no, but I think it really is. And I was like, you're wrong, husband. You're wrong. You don't know movies.
You don't know movies. Go lawyer somebody, old man.
And he was right. And so that, you know. It's a bummer for me.
But yeah. 10 Best Picture nominations. It's the first time since 1982 that the two highest grossing movies of the year were nominated.
See, and that makes sense to me, though. I know there's a lot of backlash. Less backlash for Top Gun Maverick, I think, and more backlash for your favorite film, for Avatar Way of Water. And I say that legitimately, not like your favorite film.
Cinephiles
but like...
are such... But, cynics, I'm sorry.
But, like, if you have the, you have to have the two highest growth, like, clearly
not,
people
not
went
only
to see it.
Is Avatar the only the sixth movie in history to break 2 billion, it's the first one since the pandemic. That's a big deal. Both these movies brought folks back out to the theater. And if you like movies, you should like the theater. I know some people are like, oh, you know, I don't like going to the theater now because it's loud and obnoxious and the popcorn and the stale seats. Find your theater. We have theaters here that are better than others.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of the screenings I host at Majestic. Like, I feel like we provide a good experience with the Cinematary for folks. And there's certain Harkins or AMCs that are better than others.
Right.
You know, and we have a Cinemark out east in the East Valley and whatnot. If you like movies, you should like the movie theater. No, your home setup isn't the same, and I have a good home setup too. Mm-hmm. So you should like the fact that these movies, between the two of those movies, that's, you know what, $3.5 billion so far that they've done?
And to not have nominated them, hypothetically, like, that's just insane to me. Like, of course you're gonna nominate, like, you should nominate a movie that made a crap ton of money. Because sure, like, ticket prices might be $25 in L.A., but if you're thinking about U.S. box office and everything, too, and you're thinking about Iowa and Arizona and New York and Georgia, like, yeah, it makes sense that Avatar, The Way of Water, which is a good movie also.
It's a great ride.
So, you know, I think they finally...
What I've enjoyed about Avatar, The Way of Water, it's reminded the internet losers, I shouldn't say losers, but the ones that are very, like, cynical and, like, hate everything, going into that movie... no cultural impact. No one's going to see it. It's going to bomb. It only opened 135 million here and 400 worldwide. They're like, see, it's not even going to break a billion. And it's reminding them that a lot of people go see movies that don't sit around on film Twitter beating each other off about what, you know, French New Wave films they've seen.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed that personally.
I think that's exciting. I'm happy with the animated features. It isn't dominated by Disney this year. I think Disney is not going to actually win.
I hope Pinocchio
wins.
Which
is kind of exciting. That one I still need to catch.
Zemeckis's version. Even though I have friends that worked on the Zemeckis version. Sorry, guys.
And your daughter liked it.
Yeah, she did. I didn't hate it because I'm just like, guys, it's, you know, it's Pinocchio.
It's Pinocchio.
Let's not get a, you know... Woody over a wooden toy.
But from what I understand, Del Toro did something different with it.
It's very special. I think his is very special. Sam, you liked it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love stop motion, so I need to give it a chance.
Very well done.
Yeah, there's a making of. It really is an emotional movie. And it would be my pick for best animated.
See, I'm partial to Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which I don't think you've seen yet, have you?
No.
That movie made me cry. That movie...
Pinocchio made me cry.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't it make me cry, I feel like?
I don't know.
Sam, didn't I cry?
I don't remember.
I cry, Sam? I cried. I cried.
I feel like I...
I cried at Way of Water.
Truth comes out.
I'm leaving.
The truth comes out. Well, Way of Water has a lot of, like, familial...
I cried.
Parental. I got a little... I got a little sad.
I'm a dad.
Yeah.
You know, and that... You know, just like I was a younger piss and vinegar young man when the first one came out, I'm a dad, so I James Cameron's my boy, Jimmy Cam, who never skips leg day at the box office. You know, I probably wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for T2. So you know, there's no one reason anyone does anything, but that would be one of the reasons I'm sitting here. And so to see another movie from him is very special for me as well. So
you know, you call him the cinema savior and going to church whenever you go see Avatar.
He has the
same initials as Jesus Christ. So,
well, yeah,
I mean, coincidence or...
I don't think so.
What the fuck?
And by the way, like, everyone, because he's such a... You know, we talked about this in our episode on him. He's such a clickbait fetish.
Yeah.
Because they just take little quotes because he can be abrupt or he can be, like, harsh. But, like, he loves movies. He really does.
Yeah.
And to see him, like, and the RRR guy, and him talking about how much he loved the movie, and his wife being like, he made me watch it. Like, he watched it once, and he made me watch it, and he kept being like, watch the next part. Wait till you see what comes next. Like, that dude loves movies. He recently talked about how he felt Inception got hosed. Like, he's like, that movie should have got more. Like, Nolan should have got nominated. The movie should have got nominated. Just like Spielberg recently talked about how Dark Knight should have got nominated.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Dark Knight not getting nominated kind of was one of the catalysts for why they do up to 10 now.
Expanded, yeah. Do you think he should have been nominated then? Cameron, I mean.
As director? If I know a lot of cynic cinephiles out there are like, it's just a cartoon. Go watch the documentary just on the first movie. Go watch the little bit we have on this new movie. And you tell me how much fun it was to make that movie. Because it wasn't. That movie, because... A, it's not all cartoon. There's the whole performance capture element of filming that movie. There's the whole live action part of filming that movie. Mm-hmm. It's using special AI tech to when they're filming the live action that they know where the performance capture is going to be and matching eye lines and blending it all that together. There's a lot of stuff that was built for that movie. Partial sets, partial forest. They built the sea dragon and all that stuff.
So like the production design as well, right?
Well, the production design, you know, production design, just for you kids out there, production design used to be called art design, okay? It's all about the literal design of the world building. Now, even people who hate Avatar are like, I gotta give it to the world building. And who does that? The production design. There's a whole book called The Art of Avatar with the production design. There's hundreds of artists that designed every creature, every vehicle in that movie, every facet of it. There's thousands of pages of Bible production building that Cameron had them build off of to design these creatures and all that stuff. And then they go and they literally build and design and create every costume you see in that movie, whether it's CGI or on a live-action person, was built. Every Na'vi was built in real time, every prop, because they did tests on lighting, they did tests on how it looks in wind and rain, all that stuff. If you don't think that movie has excellent production design, that's a choice.
Well, similarly, because I know you're not on film Twitter, people were upset about a screenplay nom for Top Gun Maverick, because they don't think there's a lot of substance there. Now, the defenders are saying that it's actually more like a 30s or 40s script, because it's actually got a lot of, not just heart, but it has character building, which a lot of, like, the first Top Gun didn't have. And it was just nominated by the WGA, I think, too, for their awards.
What category is it in?
Adapted.
Because, you know, adapted from the first movie because it's the same movie.
Sequels have to be adapted.
I'm just making a joke because it's, you know, the first movie.
But people were very upset that it got a screenplay nom, but the Writers Guild just nominated it also for, like, best screenplay.
You know,
so if you break it down, like...
Writing is writing. You know, writing is the basis for... Everything comes from that, ultimately. And if you got emotional at all during that movie, if that movie made you jump out of your seat or clap or get excited, yes, it's the filmmaking and all that stuff and the effects and all that, but it starts with... They had to write it out. They had to plot that out. And a lot of people, I remember when it came out, actually mentioned how there was some Jimmy Cam DNA in the way that sequel was built. You know, doing the same thing he does with his sequels of giving you familiar beats, but kind of subverting them and making you go, well, that seems familiar, but oh, wait a minute, this is happening. And also the climax upon climax upon climax kind of thing that he does, that movie does. And yeah, there's a reason that movie made $1.5 billion, and it starts with the script.
Yeah.
You know, sorry.
So,
What I've nominated for screenplay, if I was choosing five, I don't know. It, you know, it doesn't always have to be Tarantino.
No.
You know, dialogue, snappy stuff.
I personally think that if you're going to expand Best Picture to 10, I think you should at least expand some of the other categories to more than five. Because it always is so weird to me, like... you know, like Brendan Fraser, right? Like he's deservedly nominated, in my opinion, for The Whale. But The Whale was not nominated for like Best Adapted Screenplay or Best Picture of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So if you win Best Actor, but then something like Top Gun Maverick or Avatar, or like if Avatar wins, but then James Cameron wasn't nominated for Best Director, like I know there's no easy way, and you don't want one movie to win like every single award. That'd be really boring if like every Best Actor, Best Actress, Production Design, Sound, Best Pit, like if they all were the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we have such an offering now, and you've got Netflix and you've got Hulu and you've got Amazon. Like we have such an offering now that if we've expanded the Best Picture category, why not increase at least actor, actress categories? Or,
sure.
Like, actor, actress, director. Like, kind of the big four.
I've always liked how the Golden... You know, I know we're supposed to hate the Golden Globes, but I think one thing that's always been kind of cool about them is they have kind of given comedy a chance to have, you know... It's because, you know, there's great comedies.
But they lump it with musicals,
you know,
which drives me crazy,
that,
though.
And sometimes their choices of comedy. You're like, was The Martian really a comedy?
Really
a comedy? Or,
yeah.
I mean, I laughed, yes.
Yeah.
But I do like that it gives more opportunities.
Yeah.
You know.
Like best actress in a supporting role in a made-for-TV movie as opposed to like best actress in a movie or supporting actress in a movie flat out. Like they at least kind of categorize them that way. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe we need like drama and comedy. I hate to lump musicals in. Like, I don't know. Just five doesn't seem like enough.
For acting,
and maybe even directing. We got no female directors this year.
Well, they won it the last 2 years, so it's not a sexist thing, I don't think. Like,
think so? Well, like, you like Women Talking is nominated for Best Picture, but you don't have Sarah Polley nominated for Best Director.
But I don't think that a film that gets nominated for Best Picture has to be nominated for Best Director, because there's, just to give a for instance, Dune... Just to give a blockbuster, for instance, I would not have nominated that for Best Picture, but I would have nominated it for Best Director because the scope of that movie and what goes into it was very impressive. And the general in charge, Denis, is the person that's in charge of that. It wouldn't have been a Best Picture nominee for me, though. So there's movies that the direction is more impressive than maybe the movie. And there's movies that are, like, very emotional, and you go, that was a great movie. That's a true Best Picture. But there's nothing that impressive about the directing. It's not like it did anything and broke new ground or was, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do, but know, that's
that,
also...
That movie's an actor's movie, you know?
That, okay, like an ensemble cat, like, yeah. That I understand. I guess it's just some of the directors nominated. Like, I think Ostlund from Triangle of Sadness is nominated for Best Director, I think.
I mean, that's a and choice.
That's, a and to me, that shouldn't... To me, the directing didn't do much. There's something cool when the yacht enters a storm and it starts to shift, like, back and forth.
Okay.
And stuff like that, like, that's cool. But to me, like, it, the directing overall, and we've seen it before, though. We've seen that with Titanic. Like, we've seen boats rocking back and forth. And so it's not necessarily anything unique. I just question, I don't know. You hate to be, like, have a token nominee, right? Like, oh, well, we...
Yeah.
Like, let's just throw a woman in there. Or let's throw a person of color in there just because we don't have one. But they're doing great work. Women, people of color, like, they're doing fantastic work. And it's still... I don't know. That said, I cannot tell you if I saw a movie directed by a woman last year. To be honest.
And I'd have to, like, look at the list and see, like, what did women direct this year that maybe would be noteworthy in that regard. I honestly am way behind on 2022 stuff.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, so I can't say for sure. Because there's certainly times where I'm like, well, obviously this girl's got to get nominated, or this person's got to get nominated, you know, for acting or whatever. And I think there's been great strides, though, the last few years. I thought 2020 was a good push forward on both women and people of color. Like, there was so much good stuff. I know that year was weird.
I feel like this year, though, it's mostly white people again, mostly. I mean, you have Michelle, you have Everything Everywhere All at Once. So you have, like, that, you have an Asian cast. And almost everyone from that movie was nominated.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, all four of the main actors and actresses were nominated. But I didn't see the movie Till.
I haven't seen it yet.
Because I just don't want to really watch a movie about the lynching of Emmett Till, no matter how important it may be.
I've heard the Bob Dylan song, and that was dark enough.
Yeah. So, but Danielle Deadwyler apparently is this amazing black actress that I haven't seen her performance in, but everyone said that, you know, she got snubbed because you've got the movie no one saw. I hadn't even heard of To Leslie, the one that Andrea Riseborough is...
Yeah,
it made,
yeah,
like, $12,000 or something in the theater. Like, I hadn't even heard of it. So there's... I feel like there's something there. Like, I don't know what type of push there was or what goes on behind the scenes or how people get nominated. But, I mean, I saw Devotion and I thought Jonathan Majors was excellent in that movie.
I still gotta watch that. It was playing at the theater for a while,
it's very good, and it's based on a true story, mm-hmm. And he's fantastic, though. I mean, he's just great in everything, and Last Black Man in San Francisco, and things like that. So, if you expand the category, it at least gives more opportunities, I feel like, just because we are not shy. We're not short entertainment these days.
No, we're not. And that's just something that I'm even more behind on shows, because I'm not shows guy.
Yeah.
I'll end up watching some of them, but...
I'd rather watch a movie I haven't seen.
Well, what's your take on it? Because here's another controversial thing, you know, that started with when Parasite won. Should a foreign film also get to be nominated in the Best Picture category when there's a category for foreign film, and Best Picture was always kind of historically, you know, it's your best Hollywood movie?
I think I'm okay with that, given how much I do love RRR, and again, it wasn't submitted as Indian's foreign film,
mm-hmm.
or as India's foreign film, so it's not like it just didn't get nominated. They didn't submit it as that one. But I mean, because are you talking about, like, All Quiet on the Western Front,
so
for example,
for
how it's got
and
in
Best
foreign
Picture?
I mean, the Oscars aren't they take place in America, but they're meant to celebrate all of film,
mm-hmm.
but. I mean, if you look at the animation category, it almost never does that. Like, it never nominates,
yeah,
like, an anime animated film or, you know, something like that. If it's truly one of the best movies of the year, then yes, but I don't know, because I feel like, has it happened all that much? Did it just happen?
Like Crouching Tiger, but Parasite did it win, was the though? First one. No, I just...
So, I think so, because the countries are the ones that submit for Best International Film.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Argentina submitted Argentina 1985. You've got, you know, Ireland submitted The Quiet Girl. Like, the countries submit those for what is, I guess, considered an American film festival. Or American Film Awards ceremony, rather. But Best Picture is, like, best of all of what did the best, I think, like, in America. Like, mm-hmm. It is more American-focused. And if Parasite did gangbusters here in the States
All the Letterboxd
I don't necessarily have a problem with that if it's Korean, right? It's South Korea? It's a Korean film? Yeah. So if Korea is... giving Parasite as its option. Just like people were upset when France didn't nominate Portrait.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They didn't submit Portrait of a Girl on Fire. They did the Les Miserables, like, more modern, like, which is not at all related.
Yeah.
But people got upset. So if Portrait of a Lady on Fire was nominated for Best Picture, I think it was one of the best pictures I did see that year.
Okay.
So I think...
It's just a thing I brought up because it is a...
No, that's interesting. Because is it taking debate. A slot away? Like, is All Quiet on the Western Front taking a slot away from, like, when, a different, you know, film?
If it happens to win Best Foreign Film, I mean, that's a pretty big honor.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's you won the best picture in the foreign category.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people complain one way or the other on it.
Expand Best Foreign Film and you include 8 or 10. Like, maybe if things are rising in popularity, if
in Best Picture,
yeah.
Would we go up to 10 in the foreign? I don't know. I'm not an Academy member.
Yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta think positively, Aaron.
We'll do our Schloskers episode and Tom Hanks will win for, you know, best performance of being Norm MacDonald playing Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Sanders. There is some hate for Elvis online, man. There is some hate for that movie. It was fine.
I
thought it was fine.
As an editor, I just wanted to punch myself. Because I was like, it was like everything you're taught not to do. Like, and that movie does it all. Consistently and constantly. And you're just like, that's a choice. You know, that's very Boz.
Just like people were so upset with Bohemian Rhapsody getting, like, best editing because it was nothing but, like,
oh, that did annoy me. It still annoys me that Inception didn't get nominated for editing.
Yeah.
Because the timing and pacing of that movie, especially when you get to the point where it's like, okay, this segment is working at this amount of time for this segment and this amount of time, you know, it's a very well done piece of work in that regard. But, you know, most people don't know what editing is, and that's okay. Like I told you, 1917. That movie has lots of editing, and it's flawless.
Yeah.
But everyone, you know, jerked off the cinematography, which deserved it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but the editing was happening at the same time. Like, they were sending dailies to Lee Smith, who actually edited Inception, daily. And he'd have his morning, you know, meetings with Mendez, and they would base what he would be shooting that day based on what the editor was putting together and decisions and stuff, so... But hey, you know, what do I know? I'm here. They're there. So
we're gonna watch them regardless.
I'm gonna watch them all. Yeah.
I am excited for this batch, though. I think like they're finally nominating popular movies, and I don't have a problem with that if they are legitimately popular.
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, super popular.
Highest rated movie in Letterboxd history. Now it overtook Parasite.
Oh wow! Yeah.
I'm very happy it's doing so well. And, because the Oscars have always been kind of, you know, prestige dramas. It was almost like Best Picture in the category of prestige drama was the Oscars. And I remember Friedkin talking about how when he got nominated for Exorcist, somebody hype at the Oscars told him, he's like, you're not going to win. We can't let you win because that opens up a whole bag of worms for us with genre filmmaking. But it was so good we couldn't not nominate it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, it's. I think it's made strides, because I love the Oscars. I watch them every year, but I also sometimes I'm like, oh, are you serious? Come on.
I feel like that's half the fun, though.
It is half the fun.
But no, I think it's one of the stronger lineups than
it's a very eclectic lineup.
Yeah.
People have asked me, you know, are you pissed that Cameron didn't get nominated? Well, he got nominated for producing. And we kind of talked about this in our Tom Cruise episode. Producers are creatives, too.
Yeah.
And sometimes more so than anyone else on those productions. It's their passion projects that they will see through from very beginning, including hiring the director, through shooting and editing and mixing and everything.
And they balance between studio and vision, yeah, and the vision also.
And so, you know, certainly he is a, you know, producer and director, and John Landau, his kind of, he's his guy who, you know, balances life between the creative side and the studio side. And so, yeah, they did get nominated. So I don't get too mad about it. I'm, you know, it is what it is. So no females and no Jimmy Cam this year, but like,
nope.
It's an eclectic mix for the
no.
And
who directed no Top Gun director either?
No.
Which some of those shot, like, I don't know, people were also complaining about, like, because I think it was nominated for cinematography,
mm-hmm,
but not best director, and people were like, "What cinematography?"
Really? Did you not watch the movie?
Like
they're shooting an F-15s or whatever they are, F-18s. I don't know the name.
I don't know. They were just like, oh, it wasn't that impressive. Like, they didn't.
Well, go watch it in IMAX and tell me it's not impressive.
I guess to them, if it's not something that they notice, then it has to be simple. And I feel like that's probably,
like, it needs more shallow depth of field,
like,
more
maybe
bulky with,
like,
the
maybe if they're not seeing
the background.
If they're not seeing the trick, if they're not seeing that it seems complicated, then to them it was an easy shot or like. Who knows? Like, because to me, I could not direct.
I know some people that really like The Northman for cinematography, but like.
Man, I forgot all about that.
Our friend Dan was like, you know, oh, the drone footage. Like, he loved the drone footage in The Northman. And I'm like, okay. It was shot very nice. It was like a painting in a lot of ways.
That's a movie that I wish got more love. That's a movie
It wasn't for me.
I loved it. Like, I was shocked at how much I loved it, to be honest.
I mean, like, maybe
I went in expecting to not enjoy it.
I should watch it again. I felt it was, you know, kind of predictable.
At least maybe, like, production design
cinematography,
like costumes, technical.
And stuff. Yeah,
I feel like it deserves some technical.
And I should probably
awards.
Watch it again. But I just, yeah, I was like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah. I don't
know.
I know
a lot of people
are
going to be like, that guy's an idiot. But you're not wrong.
I was riveted. So, and it was not entirely due to the naked.
I was going to say, you know, if I swung a different way in certain ways, I probably would have really enjoyed that movie.
It was not due to the naked, you know, sword saber, light swords, non, you know.
I know you and Sam had your OMG, you know, back and forth over that flick.
Yeah.
That's cinematography.
Yes.
I'm kind of happy that it's a little more eclectic and, you know, I'm hopeful the show's good. So that's all I can say. You know, I was very excited at the Golden Globes. A lot of stuff that I didn't expect to win won, and
yeah,
hopefully we'll see more of that here.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do a ballot and
yeah,
we'll just
go,
kind of like
go shorty.
Give our,
go short
our predictions.
Round.
I think he has it in the bag. I hope so.
I think it's a wonderful story.
Yeah.
You know, and his speech was wonderful at the Globes and at the,
yeah,
what else, he won at the, was it Critics' Choice he won at recently?
I feel
well,
like he's won everything that he has been nominated for. But I also,
good for him,
I'm really bad about keeping up with, like, the BAFTAs and the Independent Spirit Awards. Like,
here's
all these other award
up.
Ceremonies.
I've seen some people say, does Brendan Fraser really deserve to be nominated? Or is it more the prosthetics?
Right.
Here's what I'll leave you on. Did you complain that much about Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour?
Or Nicole Kidman put on a big nose for The Hours. Charlize Theron gained some weight and put on makeup to be
De Niro,
Eileen Wuornos.
You know, he gained weight for Raging Bull. And acting isn't just about what the actor does. You know, the creation of a character starts with the writing. We mentioned screenplays earlier. It starts with the writing. You know, mm-hmm, like the actors are not coming up with these zingers themselves or this, you know, like the dialogue.
Right.
They might improvise, obviously. There's the costume design. There's the character design that can lead to makeup. You know, they all get makeup. They all sometimes get prosthetics. And so it's all, you know, amassed together.
I was on a podcast. I was on Will's
Yeah, podcast. Like, Cinephile Hissy Fit.
Yeah, Cinephile Hissy Fit, friends of the show, and I was on his and Don's podcast.
We'll make some choices.
So does Don, but Don and I tend to, like, I feel like, agree more.
I feel like I agree a little more with Don.
Yeah.
I love you, Will, but, you know, sometimes you're like, 5 stars, Thor 3, 2 stars for something else, and I'm like,
he gave something half a star, and we're like, I think it was it was one of the Rambos,
he gave the last Ghostbusters, I think, half a star. I was like, this is the worst movie of the year, and I'm like...
Choices were made. Decisions were made.
I love you, Will.
But I was on their podcast. I sort of admittedly invited myself onto their podcast because I was very passionate about The Whale.
Yeah.
And they were having a lovely guest. Her name is Barbara. She's lovely. She and I are Twitter friends. We've never actually met, even though she lives like in my neighborhood-ish
area.
Kind of. We've never met. She's lovely, but she like hated The Whale. And I was like... my voice needs to be heard on this because it was one of the best movies to me that I saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the questions proposed during the in interview, and it was a very good question, was does the prosthetic suit do most of the heavy lifting? Like,
mm-hmm.
how much of the acting, you know, is the suit doing it because mm-hmm. of just kind of how incredible the weight is that he's supposed to be, right? It's so unhealthy to be 600 pounds kind of thing. So it's like, you can't expect someone to gain weight like De Niro did for Raging Bull. So how much of it is just the suit doing that? And I disagreed. They thought it was more the suit. Not that Brendan wasn't good,
mm-hmm.
but they thought it was more like the suit and kind of the shock value of it all and how there is still like an awkward sort of gaze and we haven't quite come to terms on how to film like a fat person, right? Mm-hmm. Like how maybe things lingered a little too long and, you know, and I don't disagree.
Awkwardness, making an audience feel uneasy, that kind of stuff.
Right, like look at like a little more spectacle. And I don't necessarily disagree, but I thought all of the heart and the emotion was like in his face for me. I didn't think it was the suit doing the lifting. Like, I saw, he has such an expressive face, and his eyes are just, like, so, his eyes were still so big, even covered in, like, layers of latex. So, I don't think it was the prosthetic suit that did the heavy lifting. I think it enabled him to act better, but I...
They gave him a tool.
It gave him the tool he needed because he did gain some weight
for that role. Here's the thing, man. Brendan Fraser is not the matinee idol he was 20 years ago.
No, and he's gone through a lot of stuff. But one of the general consensus between Barbara and Will and Don, no matter how any, you know, each of us felt about the movie, was it had nothing to do. We were not offended by Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't upset at him, and we all wanted him to do well. Like, if this helps his career, right, and this brings about more Brendan in our lives, we're all the better for it.
Yeah.
So the criticism wasn't on him for, say, taking that role, because I kept saying, well, we could have had Jared Leto in a prosthetic suit. Is that what we all want? Because we already got something like that in Gucci, right? House of Gucci, which he may or may not have been nominated for, even.
I don't know.
But yeah, so to me, the makeup can be used as a tool, but I feel like for Gary Oldman, for example, it helped him. He still sold the character. All it did was give him the tools. And so the argument is, was there maybe not a 400 or 500 pound actor that could have done the role? And Aronofsky claims that they looked for one, but no one had the like gravitas and the emotional range to carry the film the way it needed to. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. He then got into the weeds of, well, if you hire a 300-pound actor, you still need, like, a prosthetic suit. Like, if you order a 300-pound actor, is that acceptable?
He's supposed to be like, 600 pounds, right, in the movie?
I think so.
So even if you hire a 400-pound person, you're still going to have prosthetic work.
Right.
And then you're going to have to deal, too, with, I hate to say it, but you're dealing with insurance companies.
And the fact remains, you need a name.
Yeah.
Like indie.
It's a business.
Indie filmmakers will tell you that right now the industry sucks for them because they won't get funding if they don't have like you know, a Chris in their movie, mm-hmm. or, you know, they don't have like at least one name. Yeah. So you try and
it's a business.
Yeah.
And you know, when people are putting up their money for creatives to make a thing, they want their money back.
Yeah.
And they want to make some money possibly. Yeah, that's just the sad part of the business. That's Oscars for now. We'll talk more Oscars as it comes up.
Yeah. We've got till March, so yeah, we'll do more.
That's just a little bonus thing.